charging through all the different Mulachos. And we are now up to Kotzer. And right, we've kind of touched on a lot of the basic ideas that we're going to have to deal with in Kotzer back in Notea, back when we're dealing with planting. And really, right, we also sort of got into, I just showed up automatically. So maybe the no waiting room thing did work. Right, and really kind of what we want and some of the techniques already we're familiar with. So what was your like one sentence, explanation of Kotzer that you guys all came up with? You're like, with one word, one line definition.
We talked about like separating something from its primary nutrient source.
Okay, very good, right? So like, you know, separating it from its source of nutrients, right? Like it's closer, right? The Oker Davar Migidulo, there's this thing and it gets nutrients from, you know, from thing B. And if you separate the two, you're okay from that gidulo, you detach it from its source of nutrients. That's really the malacha, right? That's one way to deal with it. The emphasis in that case is going to be on?
On the nutrition and like the growing.
Exactly, right? It depends really on the nutrition, the growing, how much is the plant going to grow, not going to grow, as well. And it's very universal, right? So in theory, you can apply that to anything that grows, right? If it grows, you can say that you're doing Oker Davar Migidulo, right? What's like an alternative definition?
Ari and I were thinking the act of taking something from the ground, taking, let's say, a plant from the ground.
Oh, you're very good, right? Separating the plant from the ground, right? And that's very much, like a very physical, right? The act of separating from the ground. Very much emphasizing the physical distinction between, there's this plant, it's attached to the ground, and now you're separating it, right? It's very much on the physical action. Okay, very good. So, right, those two options really, I think, are like key in understanding Kotzer. And I think that's really, obviously, not totally surprising, going to be, the key machlokas that runs through the sigya. Okay? So, right, is it, but there's another difference there that I want to emphasize as well, right? Yair and Ari's definition emphasized that there's a plant and it's attached to the ground, right? Those are two separate things, right? You could, right, you said it's a plant and you said it's attached to the ground. In theory, you could have something that's not a plant that's attached to the ground, right? Or you can have, or that's attached to something else that you're physically detaching. You can also have, say, nutrients, right? That something's going to get nutrients, but it's not a plant, right? What's an example of something that derives nutrients but isn't a plant? Yeah, all right.
Fetus.
Right. It's animal, right? The it's a fauna. Yeah, fauna, not just flora, right? It could be flora, could be fauna. Fauna, right, are they derive nutrients, but they are not generally attached to the ground. And they're definitely not plants. If let's say you had an animal that was attached to the ground, or let's say you had, I'm talking about physically detaching it from something else, right? Let's say the fetus case in the Gemara. So then you're physically detaching the fetus from its mother, but nonetheless, right, they're not attached to the ground, but there is a nutritional connection between them. So those two are going to be, again, a separate question. So what we've done is we said, okay, on one hand, there's the question of, what objects or what entities does it apply to, right? Does it apply to plants or does it apply to anything, right? Tali versus Ari and Yair on one degree. The other question, that's the Hekef Adin, the scope of the Din, what does it apply to in terms of what sort of cases, what sort of entities, number one. Number two is what is the essence of the Malacha, right? What's the Ofi Hadin? What is its nature? Is it about physically detaching it? Is it about knocking out the nutrition, right? Which again is Machlokas Tali versus Yair and Ari. Is it, knocking out the nutrition and now this thing's not going to grow anymore? Or is that these things were physically attached, it was connected to the ground, it was Mechubar, and now it's Talish. Okay. Do those two have to be connected to each other?
Sorry, what do you mean by connected? Which two things?
Are those two dependent? The question of the Hekef Adin is it relating to things that plants or sort of anything? And the question of the ofia din, the nature of the din, is it about the nutrition or is it about the physical connection? All right.
I mean, theoretically, they don't have to be connected, but the way that like things work is that there's no like wireless transfer of nutrients just practically. So practically they do have to be connected, because if it's about just like the separation of things and not the nutrients, then like it would have to be connected in some way, if that makes sense.
Okay, so I'm going to argue with you from two examples. One is that right now we are all connected and yet it is all wireless. Number two, and is a more accurate example, is we hold that an atzitz nakov gets nutrients from the ground even if it's not physically touching the ground, right? So we do believe that you could get, right, that's one extreme case where it's actually just like hovering over the ground and we say like, oh, it's deriving nutrition from it. Or sort of moving along in the path, like you have, let's say, it's like parasitic creepers that latch onto trees. So they're sort of attached to the ground, but they're not directly attached to the ground, which is, I guess, less wireless. But again, there's some sort of connection there. Right? You could have different levels of nutrition, even without a physical connection. Or let's say, I don't know, even let's say you had plants in water, right? You had flowers in a vase. So, right, I don't know how much I would consider them attached, right? They're not attached, but maybe I could say that there's some level of nutrition. Or if there are roots there, is that nutrition, right? What's going on there? So and just like a little bit, there is what to argue there as well. I think you're correct though in the sense that, right, they don't have to be. In theory, I could say, oh, it only applies to plants, right? But it has to be about the nutrition. I would sort of assume a priori the way that it would work out, the way, you know, there's the Tali camp and then there's the Yairari camp, that it's about nutrition and I don't really care so much who's getting the nutrition. The point is, you have this thing that grows and now it's not going to grow anymore, as opposed to Yayanari's camp, which would say, oh, well, it's about plants and it's about harvesting. And maybe even it's about, right, Dafka, there needs to be sort of agricultural component to it as well. So if you go in that direction, then I would say, oh, it's going to be plants and it's going to be maybe, you know, grains and fruits, and it would have to be physically attached to the ground. Not necessarily, right? It's not, there's nothing in it that says that it has to work out that way. But definitely, I was right that it just sort of feels like it's gonna work out more that way. But right, but conceptually, there's no reason why you would have to have them go one with the other. Okay, so let's look at the Makaros and just see what people actually say. Let's get over to the top. Okay. Fine. Right, Vahakotzer, Tana, Hakotzer, Habotze, Hagoder, Maisekwa, Ore, Kula, Melachachas. Okay, all these are plants, right? They're all plants. So it's like harvesting grains, harvesting fruits, harvesting olives, harvesting this. All of them are different examples of harvesting of something that's a plant that's growing in the ground, okay? And they're all physically connected to the ground. So this really doesn't give us, any sort of knowledge in expanding it beyond the very basic, like you have a plant and it's in the ground and you have to cut it, right? Okay, so far... it's like we have a very narrow scope. The Gemara in Chulin, however, says, Amar b'chia barash, Ravashi, Amar Shmuel, te'inim shetzamku b'yivehem, if you have these figs, and they are on the tree still, right, but they're already like, you know, started drying out, they're basically, right, they're not, you know, this is, they're not growing anymore, and they're already starting to shrivel up. Metamos tumasochlin. So the metamic tumasochlin is if they were food and not plants, right? Plants are not mekabel tuma. Food is mekabel tuma. We treat them as if they're food. V'hatolish behen b'shabes chayiv chatas. Okay, so that's like a bit of a stira in the sense that on the one hand we're saying it counts as it's food and it's not it's attached, right? So it's mekabel tuma. On the other hand, the gabe shabes, if you detach it, you are being okedar migidula, right? You're doing kotze, right? So is it attached? Is it a plant? Or is it food, right? If it's already detached and makabel toma, then shouldn't we be pater for Shabbos, right? So obviously the answer is going to be that, right? Shabbos and toma have slightly different definitions. Hichi dami, idi yavshan hein v'okzehen pshita. If they and the stem, right? The fruit and the stem are both dried up. So then of course it's obvious. What's obvious? Right? We're going to get to that in a second. Elalav below, same. The fruit is drying up. but the connection to the tree is not all dried out. The stem isn't dried out, which means that basically it still can derive nutrition from the tree, even though it's starting to shrivel. Okay, so what? So gabe toma, since it's already fall and it's not growing anymore, we'll treat it as already food. The gabe shabbos, since it's still connected to the tree and the stem is still intact, it's definitely chayv. Okay, what is the chiddush? What's the pshita? Right. So how did you guys want to read the Gemara, at least initially? Yeah, Ari.
Well, I don't know what I don't remember initially because we went back and forth a million times, but it seems like pshita could possibly be saying that if both the stem and the fruit were dry, then if you picked it on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayav; it would be patur.
Right, very good. Right.
The other way of reading that is that it's just talking about the tuma part. That obviously it would be mitame tumat ochlin, but it doesn't mention the Shabbos thing at all.
Exactly. Amazing. Right. The Gemara says it would be obvious. Right. It doesn't say what would be obvious. So when I say, "Oh, hein e diavshan hein vuktehen pshita," then I say, "Ah, of course." Right. It's if they're both dry, then it's obvious. But we talked about Shabbos, we talked about Tumah. Are we saying, oh, it's obvious that Lagabe Tumah they'd be considered Ochel because it's food that just happens to be like hanging on a tree? So, okay, great, fine. That would be obvious. We wouldn't need to tell you. And the Chiddush is that even though only the fruit is done then and not the Okut, then it's, it's still Makabel Tumah. And we haven't said anything about Shabbos, right? The other way to read it is to say, oh, the Pshita is that Lagabe Shabbos, of course it would be Mutter, right? You know, it's detached. L'chol davar. The chiddush is that you have this in between case where it's if the uketz is still wet, right? The stem is still moist and still alive, but the fruit is already drying out. Then, since there's a there's a link, but there's no, but the stem is still alive. So then, legabe tuma, it's detached. Legabe shabbos, it's attached, right? So Rashi says, reads it about shabbos. Chayv chatas im lo yivshu uktzehem. Right? If the stems aren't dried out, then you're chayav chatas. Dilein and Shabbos mechubarin ninhu, because they're still considered attached, right? But if both were dried out, then even though they're physically attached, the gabe Shabbos they'd be considered detached, right? And later he says, right, tlushin gmurin hein, they're like completely detached, like lechol davar, right? Rather below uktzehen. The chiddush is that even though lagabe Shabbos they're mechubar for tuma, they're detached, right? And Tosus also understands that. Tosus adds in an explanation. B'mechubar mishkachas la, Omer Rebbe de lav mishum tlisha nakat la, de af al gav she mechubar la aret, ein bo iser tlisha, kivan she yibesh eino yonik min haaret, kedemuchach bechulin perka or varotek. So Tosus says, ah, right? What's the explanation? The explanation is, exactly, right, our machlokas. What's the havamina? What's the problem? So on the one hand, it's physically attached, right? So if the stem is dried out, it's still physically attached, but even though it's physically attached, it's not drawing any nutrition, right? Inbo iser tlisha, kivan sheibish eno yonik. So even though it's physically attached, it's not drawing any nutrition, it's considered talosh l'chol davar, right? Right, but the chiddush is that legabe tuma, if the fruit is dried out, but the stem is still giving it some nutrition, nonetheless, we're still going to say that it's going to be detached for tuma, even though it's attached for Shabbos, right? So Tosfos says, right, the question in the Gemara is basically our question: is it nutrition? Is it the physical attachment? It's physically attached. I would have thought that's the din by Shabbos. Kamash Malam, the din by Shabbos is that it needs to be deriving nutrition. Okay? So far, so good. One other example, right? The Gemara in Eruvin says if you're not allowed to climb on dead trees on Shabbos, on trees on Shabbos, right? Echad yil lach v'echad yil on yavish. V'tane idach ba medvar murim belach, aval b'yavish mutar. Okay, this is machlokas. Whether or not you're allowed to climb on dry trees, right? We're worried that if you climb on a a regular tree, you'll knock off branches, you'll knock off, you know, things that'll be kotzer. The answer is, oh, what's the difference between these two brises? It's a stira. No. Now, one's when it's rainy season, one's the dry season. In the rainy season, it's hard to tell that a tree is really dead, right? Or that a dead tree is really, right? Everything kind of looks the same. Right? Wait a second. Even if it's dried out, though, you'll still knock off fruit. And it says, b'daleka peri, v'kanatri kisni, big duda. Where it's like totally dead, right? Okay, or straight, sorry. So Rashi says, Yavish she'im bo lichluch velo mechubru, right? On, so wait, the Gemara, okay, so the Gemara says, Rashi says, right, that if it's dried out, the tree is if it's totally detached from the ground. Why can't you pluck off fruit? So the answer is, it's a gzeira, she'nisha rubo mishana she'avra, va'asli l'mishri be t'lisha dilach. And that is a gezeira, right? The Gemara says very simply, you have a tree, it's dried out. Says Rashi, it's totally detached. It has no connection to the ground. Okay, so far so good. So far we have a lot of fashitos in the camp of nutrition camp. However, right, Ari and Yair are getting nervous. So Baruch Hashem, we also have the shita of the Rambam, right? The Rambam says. Let's just skip here. Actually, two good things here. We'll go back to this that first part. Te'inim sheyavshu bi'iveihem, right? The case in our Gemara. Chin ilan sheyavshu perosev. Hatolish behem b'shabes chayiv. Afal pi shehin ke'akurin le'inyan toma. So he's not machalik at all. He says you have dried fruit that have dried on the tree. They're totally going to be pater. Sorry, chayiv. And they're considered mechubar entirely, 100%. Right? Why? So the Magen Avraham says, right, the answer is for the Rambam. B'yavi she'im bo lichloch lo shayach t'lisha, kin kasav rashi, aval das ha-Rambam to b'yavi shayach t'lisha. Right? This is physically connected. Then you're going to, you're in trouble. At the end of the day, the Rambam's not machal between these two. The Rambam read the Gemara the way we talked about earlier, right? That the pshita is lagabe toma, but lagabe Shabbos, as long as it's physically connected, you're going to be in trouble. Okay. Te'inim sheyavshu bi'ibayin v'chin ilan sheyavshu perosav bo hatosh ben b'Shabbos chayiv afo pi she'en ka'akurin le'inyin toma. Right. Straight up, no chiluk between the two cases. Okay. I wanted to also show the Reb Chaim. You know, I'll come to the Reb Chaim in a minute. We'll do the Reb Chaim in a second. Okay, so just first, right, our first, sort of straight up machlokes in this is exactly, right, as we've sort of postulated, or at Lashita Seinu, right, the Rambam comes out and says that the Rambam comes out and says that kotzer is about the physical connection, right? Even though the fruit are dried, the stems are dried, you're still going to be chayiv because there's a physical connection and you're cutting that off, right? Rashi and Tosfos says it's about the nutrients. So if there are no nutrients coming in, you haven't separated any nutrient connection, and therefore we're not going to consider cutting off the fruit where the stems are already dry to be kotzer. Okay? So again, perfectly lishitasim. The Rambam has another shita, which is Gishmak. Let's share that. The Rambam also mentions something else here. Gavshusha shel afar, she'alu ba'asavim. You have a clod of dirt that has that started having like plants growing in it. Higbiha me'al ha'aretz, ve'hinicha agabe yesedos, chayiv mishum tolesh. Okay, same thing is true with like atzitz nakov. You have a glot of earth, you have a perforated flower pot, and you pick it up and you sort of put it on a tripod, let's say. So if you pick it off the ground, you're chayiv because of kotzer. If you put it back down, you're chayiv because of zoreh. And he puts this together with what he said about the te'inim. Okay? How can you explain that? So the problem is like this. There's a Gemara that says chayiv, I mentioned, saw that in the Reb Chaim. I don't know if all of you got to the Reb Chaim. Here's the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim points out there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, if you pick it up, right, you're Chayiv. So Rashi and Toso said, Chayiv is Lav Davka, and it's only Midrabanan. Right? Why would the, right? So Rashi and Toso say, oh, you pick up the flower pot off the ground and you have it hovering above the ground, you're going to be Potter. And when the Gemara says Chayiv, it's only Midrabanan. And when the Rambam says, you're Chayiv and you're Chayiv Achatas. For Kotze. Why? What's the Hesper?
I'm sorry. Can you tell me what chatas means? Is it a deoraisa?
Yeah, chatas always means deoraisa. Chayv chatas means you're chayv korban chatas. In order to be chayv korban chatas, you have to have been over an iser deoraisa and done the shear. Because otherwise you can't even be machmir by a korban chatas, because if you're wrong and you're not chayv the korban chatas, you're over on the iser of bringing chulin la'azara. So chayv chatas means you definitely violate an iser daraisa.
Okay.
It's the ultimate way of saying like you're chayv for an iser daraisa.
So before when Rashi said it's mishum gezera that you're not allowed to do something, that was deoraisa gezeira?
No, gezeira, that means derabana.
Okay.
He was saying detaching from the tree is only aser midrabana.
Oh, okay.
All right, so what do we think? So you have a flower pot, and you're like, it's got it perforated, you're picking it up, now it's hovering above the ground. I just like put it into our two options.
It sounds a lot like nutrients and not like disconnecting.
Why? What do you think? Do we hold that it's still going to get nutrients?
When it's lifted up?
Yeah. In general. It's a Yediyas question. It's like, it depends if you, how much, like, if you've learned enough of Shas, you'll see this come up. Pardon?
Sorry, could you describe, like, the scenario again, what's happening exactly, what you're doing?
Yes. Okay, so you have a flower. I wish I had like a flower pot here. I do have a flower pot. Could be out. I have a flower pot. Well, it's good. See, it's nice to be home and you have like all the props you need. You have a flower pot. Okay, flower pot has a hole in the bottom and it's on the ground. And then you come and you put it onto some sort of, you know, let's see if you can see this. I can't see it. Okay, a platform such that it's hovering. Oh, can I get this into the No, can't do it. But it's now hovering above the ground. So it was on the ground, and now I raised it up and put it on like, you know, yesedos, so like little pegs. So it's hovering above the ground. Okay. Halachically speaking, we assume that if you were to do so, the moisture of the ground and things like that would still help this plant grow. Right? It still derives some sort of nutrients from the ground. I assume you don't put anything block, you don't block up the hole. However, right, it's no longer on the ground. Right? Just so in general, right, we said before, like atzitz nakov, even when it's hovering above the ground, is considered to still be connected to the ground such that if you plant in it, you're over on zorea midoraisa. Yeah, all right.
Then it works perfectly with Shitata Rambam because he would say that you're chayav mideoraita because you are uprooting it from the ground. It's no longer on the ground, and therefore you'd be chayav mideoraita. But Rashi, who says that it's about the nutrients, if it's still getting nutrients, you're only chayav miderabana.
Amazing. Exactly, right? And that's exactly what Reb Chaim says. Reb Chaim points out, he says, if you look at this whole situation, according to the Rambam, it's about the physical connection. If you separate it physically, then we're good to go. Right, you were over on Shabbos Midaraisa, right? You had it; it was connected. You detached it. You're right that it's still drawing nutrients through Wi-Fi, right? But at the end of the day, right, you disconnected it from the earth. On the other hand, Rashi and Tosfos will say maybe it's getting less nutrients, right? But at the end of the day, it's still getting nutrition from the ground. So you haven't fully detached it from the ground. And therefore, it's still deriving nutrients from the ground. And you're still not over on kotze. Yeah, all right.
How do you say that the Rambam holds that an atzitz nakuv that's placed on the ground is actually considered like it's connected to the ground? Like, isn't that a bit of a stretch to say that it's actually connected?
You have dirt, right? In general, the whole planet Earth, right, is it's not none of it's connected to each other in theory, right? It's all like you have molecules and they're all placed on top of each other, right? If you have a pile of dirt and there's something planted on the top of the pile of dirt, so it's not attached to the bottom. It's right, there's a whole pile of dirt and it's sitting on top of it. Right? We consider that connected to the ground. I think that's relatively reasonable, right? Any plant that's in the ground or in dirt, as long as all the dirt is touching each other.
Cutting out like crazy. But yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Right. Is that me or you?
Sorry.
That's me, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Sarah or Sarah?
Can I ask? Sarah, yeah. The Hebrew, I know apparently I say it weird. Is Rambam's definition like davka that it has to be touching? Like, let's say we had a plant and we snipped it exactly where it was on the ground, but we left it on the ground. Would, according to Rambam, that not be considered detaching, but still, for our first case, it would still be considered connected?
I think we would consider that.
Like, is that either or?
I don't think so. I think we would consider that to be kotzer, especially because its roots, let's say, are no longer connected to their, their dirt.
According to, in the first case, we considered it having been still connected, but like by it being on the ground, like.
Yeah, but its roots are still. Imagine like this: you have a plant, right, and it's in the ground, mm-hmm. and then you take a shovel and you dig around its roots, and then you pick it up with all the dirt around its roots, but now it's not on the ground anymore.
But with the flower pot case, it wasn't in the ground, right? It was just resting on the.
Right, but ultimately, meaning legally speaking, and I think relatively practically too, right? You have dirt, right? There's dirt here, then there's a little hole, right? And then there's dirt here, and there's dirt touching, and it's all one big. In theory, it's all right. All the dirt is connecting. If it was wet and you were to zap it with a lightning bolt, it would, you know, would all get electrified, right? So at some point, we have to determine, you have dirt. So you have a pile of dirt that you put on top of the sidewalk. Or than that, the sidewalk's not a great idea. You have like dirt, right? And then you put more dirt on top of it and loose soil and you put a plant in it. So we consider that to be attached to the ground, right? Even though I could take that tree, right, or that plant and pick it up and the roots with all the dirt around them is going to come up with me, right? When I pick that plant up out of the ground, even though it's loose soil, right? The soil was once all touching. Now it's not. We would consider that to be uprooting, right? The fact that the dirt is very loose isn't going to change.
Yeah. I was thinking of like an obscure case, but yeah. Right. Just like if you saw like literally the cross section of the plant and the soil and you were able to slice through while still keeping it technically in the soil.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying there, what you're doing is you're taking, here's the plant, right? And the roots, and you just separate it from its roots. We're not talking about separating it from its roots, right? If you were to take a plant and cut it off from its roots, you just cut it off from its roots, right? So now it's physically detached. Mm-hmm. Even if it's sitting on top of it, the stem and the roots are detached. But if you were to take a plant and its roots and all the, right? And then just sort of lift that up, but they would still be touching the ground. Let's say you did the following. You have this tree, okay? Here's our tree. Here's our plant, our dirt, right? The tree is this deep in the dirt. And then you're really strong and you're in bed and you just want to show off. And you just pull up the tree so that now it's like this, right? It's just sitting on top of the dirt, but it's still on the dirt, right? So I would say that I think that probably you're not chayiv, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, the tree is still in the dirt. You're right that it used to be like 6 feet deeper and now you're sort of on the top. It could be there's some sort, you could argue that maybe you'll be chayiv in some way because like if the tree will die, maybe like that would give some greater significance. I don't know. I don't know any discussion about that, but it could very well exist. But then again, we're saying, oh, there's like this force multiplier with the fact that like now the tree's going to die, right? You detached it sufficiently, especially if we care about nutrients, right? If we're in Tali's camp, we're in Rashi and Tosis's camp, then maybe we'll say, yeah, but if you just pulled it six feet down and now it's just sitting on the top, it's going to die. So that counts as detaching it from its nutrients, right? From a nutrient perspective, I could.
So that's kind of what confuses me with regards to the Rambam's position.
No, the Rambam says if it's on the ground still, it's attached. If I pull it up and it's not on the ground anymore, then it's no longer physically attached to the ground.
Right. Okay.
Right. Meaning this flower pot is attached to the ground, at least according to the Rambam, right? Because there's a hole in the bottom and all the dirt's touching, and now it's not attached to the ground. Now it's in a flower pot. Now it's hovering in the air, right? It's no longer in the ground or even on the ground, right? Rashi and Tosfos could say, oh, well, just because if it was like this, right, it's drawing nutrition from the ground, but not so much, right? Oh, it gets a little bit of moisture from the ground. The karon, the nutrition comes from the soil in the pot, right? So when you pick it up, and the hole is still exposed to the ground, there's still some nutrition coming from the ground. There's still some moisture that you get from the ground. Okay, that's good enough, because nutritionally, you haven't detached it in 100%, right? You're right, meaning on some sense, you're like, what? Like, it's such an insignificant change. But that's exactly the point, right? This, when you get to these like very, very, you know, precise cases, like these very like specific cases, you can suddenly say, ah, well, what does it really depend on? Does it depend on the fact that like right, detached nutritionally or detached physically. Right here, suddenly we can say, oh, like there's a difference between those two. As Ari was pointing out earlier, right, how can you ever like differentiate between the two? Right? How can you ever say, oh, there's like gonna be nutrition if there's no physical connection? Right? Nutrition definitely doesn't go through Wi-Fi. But our answer is that if you can find a case where the nutrition will go through Wi-Fi, then we can tell you whether or not we care about the physical connection versus the the connection in terms of nutrition. Okay, so this is perfect, right? And Reb Chaim really says, that's exactly what Rashi and Tosos versus the Rambam is all about, right? I just came down to the bit that's really relevant. Zehu gam habir ledevrei haRambam shepasak. Atzitz nakov agabi yasedos chayiv b'trumos u'maisros midoraisa. Midoraisa, in terms of trumos u'maisros, what we care about is yinika, we care about nutrition. U'pasak gam kin linyan shabbos evi tolish midoraisa. Mishum, the three dinim, they're two separate dinim. Din trumus hu maestros tali rak bidin gidule karka. Is it growing from the ground, right? Where does it grow from? Where is its nutrition coming from? Ubezeh pasa gam atzitz nakova gabi esedos hevi bichlal gidule karka. Kivin di yanki meara, right? It gets nutrition from the ground, so you're chayef. In trumus hu maestros. And it's considered to have grown from the ground, right? But growing from is different than the question of where is it, right? The fact that there's a physical hefsek of air doesn't really matter in terms of determining where it's growing from, right? If you get your internet through Wi-Fi, we're not going to say, oh, but there's air in between, so you're not connected to the internet, right? There's no data connection. There's a data connection, right? You know, the Haredim can throw rocks at you if they want. Ava hadin da'atz nakov hevi mechubar be'emes. The fact that we consider an atzitz nakov to be physically attached to the ground, right, because the dirt inside of it is touching the dirt of the ground, is not true if it's hovering in the air and there's a hefsek of air. Kiva de mafsik avira al karchach lini shabbos hevi tolish. Okay, so just to like a small glimpse into the rabbit hole of Shira's question. Let's say there's something physically there, but that thing is not how legally significant and not legally distinct enough from dirt. What's dirt like, but is a kli? It happens to be like a huge discussion. There's like another nachmir, which we're really not going to get into so much. What about earthenware? It's even called earthenware. It's great, right? Let's say you have an earthenware atzitz, you have a pot that's all earthenware, and it has no hole. So on the one hand, are you going to get nutrition from it? From the ground? Not really, right? Are you going to, is it considered a chatzitza? Is it a hefsek? Maybe, right? Because it's earthenware, so maybe it's considered, it's made of dirt, ultimately. Maybe I consider that connected. Yeah, Tali.
Well, there's also like biodegradable things where like you buy a plant that's in something that like once you put in the ground, it's going to like disintegrate so that it'll grow.
Exactly, right? So another great example. Before that thing starts to disintegrate, right? Let's say it's like a weird biodegradable plastic. On the one hand, that's the opposite, right? I would consider it, let's say, to be, you know, maybe I would say, is it going to be, it's going to disappear soon. So maybe I should say it's Bato. On the other hand, it's not dirt. Okay, what about the opposite case? Let's say I have a wooden pot, okay, that definitely lets moisture through, right? Wood, if you soak it, definitely lets moisture through to the other side. It's very porous. On the other hand, it's not dirt, right? Would a wooden pot be considered to be like an atzis nakov, even if it has no hole, because at the end of the day, it lets moisture through? Or would we say, no, but it's wood, it's not dirt? So the answer is, it's machlokas rishonim. There's a big machlokas rishonim about different materials, whether or not, even if they don't have a hole, are they going to be considered like an atzis nakov? Maybe we'll consider wood because it lets the moisture through, even though it's different. Others say, no, wood is a hefsek because it's not dirt. But earthenware, even though it won't let the moisture through, is considered like dirt because it's actually made from dirt. So it's not a hefsek, right? Which I think is exactly this machlokas again, right? If we care about the physical connection, so I'll say, oh, is it like a hefsek? Is it not a hefsek, right? It's a halachic, it's a very legal question. I started saying like, wait a second, but how much do I really care about like the, oh, is it like touching, is it not touching? How much does that matter, right? If the question is it physically connected? So say it matters a ton, right? Physically, are they connected? Physically, are they not? Is it earthenware? And therefore it's all earth. And therefore maybe it'll just be batel to the ground. It'll be considered no chatzitza. Or do I care about the nutrition? And then of course, earthenware is going to be an atzitz she'eino nakov, even if it has no hole. But maybe wood, if it's going to let moisture through, is going to be considered to be like an atzitz nakov, even if it has no hole. Okay, so that's just another machlokas that really gets into Sarah's question of like, you know, where are we going to draw this line of we need to, how legal is this? Is it like, oh, even if there's a physical like distinct separation, you know, but it doesn't let moisture through, or the opposite, if there's something that doesn't let moisture through, like legally it shouldn't count, you know, if you use that laser and you just cut through, would that really make a difference? But I think it really can go lishitasenu, right? If it's about the nutrition, then we'll go by the nutrition, or it's about the physical connection. You could also argue that in some level you might need both in one way or the other, or you can't have a negation of the other, maybe. Okay, moving along, right? So Reb Chaim says, Trumos to Maestros cares about where you get the nutrition from, and Shabbos cares about the physical connection. Okay, so actually, right, both of these are very significant, but from different fields. So let's just chart that. Oh, one second. Can't do the showing thing. Right. If you're raising the flower pot, so the Rambam says you're chayiv because you're cutting off the physical connection. And Rashi and Tosos once again say that you're putter because it continues to derive nutrition. Okay. Now, the next marker we want to see is where to go. Oh, yes. One question or another question. How far is the Rambam willing to go? So the Magen Avraham, if we remember, said that the Rambam thinks that even if the tree is totally dead, plucking a fruit off of it would be chayiv. That's the Rambam, de biyaveh shayach tlisha. You have a dead tree. It's like totally like a stick of wood. If you were to pluck a fruit off of it from back when it was alive, you're going to be over on kotzer. Okay? That's the way the Magen Avraham understands the Rambam. So he's going all the way to extreme, saying physically, as long as there's some physical connection, you're over on kotzer. Okay? The Dvar Avraham argues on that and thinks that it's not true. Why? Well, one problem is that the Rambam seems to be going against Mefurash Gemara, right? The Gemara in Ervin and Daf Kuf said, Echad Ilan Lach, Ve'echad Ilan Yavish, right? Ilan Lach is going to be Chayiv. Even Ilan Yavish is going to be Mutter or Asur Midrabanan, but never ever Chayiv, right? So it could be that the argument is, he reads the Gemara differently, which is possible. The Dvar Avraham points out that the Rambam in Hilchos Tumah says the following: Ilan shenifshach bo peros harehein kitlushin v'chein im yivish ha'ilan ubo peros harehein kitlushin. If you have a tree, if the ilan, not the te'inim, but the tree itself dried out, right? The peros are as if they're already detached, and if the tree is dried out and it has peros, they are like talosh, right? They are like they are separated. Okay. If you look at what he says in the next halacha about te'inim sheyivshu, what does he say? Metamin tomas ochlin bim koma. What's the difference there? Right, the Rambam changes his lashon a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Koman implies that the.
You just got muted. Yeah.
When he says Talush, it sounds like he's talking about Shabbos. Like it's already separated from the ground with regards to Shabbos. And the next one sounds like it's considered a food, which are
but two. But Nana said that's detached, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? So the Dvar Avram points out that the Rambam, when he's talking about the tree drying out, he says it's as if the fruit is already detached. When it comes to the case where the fruit alone is dried out, it, and its ukats and its stem, then he says that they're already considered food. He doesn't say it's as if they're detached. I think, and so the Dvar Avram says he thinks that the Rambam isn't going to read the Gemara and Erevin differently. If the whole tree is already dried out, so the tree is as if it's as if it's detached from the ground already, right? It's like a stick that happens to be standing in the ground. If the fruit is dried out and the stem is dried out, but it's still attached to the tree, then we would consider it to be kotzer still. There would still be a significant, we'd still consider that to be significant. Now I think, the way to explain that is. Right, the Rambam saying, are you detaching something from its connection to the ground, right? From where it's connected to the ground, or are you attaching it from its physical connection to the ground, okay? What's the difference? If the tree, if we're just caring about the physical connection to the ground, so physically, right, the dried out tree is still attached to the ground, and physically the fruit is still attached to it. The Dvar Avram, I think, is trying to say, or he's saying for the Rambam to make sense with the Gemara, is that once the tree is dried out, right, so there's no longer, the tree is no longer considered to be the place where the fruit grows from, or a place where the fruit could grow from. If you physically detach something from its place of growth, right, or the place where it grows from, even if it's not growing anymore, that's going to be considered kotzer. So there's remnants of the nutrition idea. It has to be a place, let's say, that could still give it nutrition, right? It has to be a place where it grew and could grow still. Now you're physically detaching it from where it grew. The tree, once it's totally dead, is as if it's detached from the ground because there's no significance in its connection to the ground anymore. So even though the iser is detaching the physical connection needs to be to something that could give nutrition, right? It has to be oker davar mi gidulo. And the tree is no longer gidulo if it's totally dried out. So if the whole tree is dried out, so they're already detached. If the tree is not dried out, only the fruit and the stem are dried out, it's drawing no nutrition, but you're still detaching it from the place where it drew nutrition from. Right? So we're basically going for is that you have two sort of, the Rambam cares about both sides of the equation, right? The ikar is the maisa is definitely the physical detaching, but where you need to detach it from needs to be a place which gives it yanika, which gives it nutrition, not just where it once grew or where it's physically attached. It has to be detaching something from a growing place and not just from a physical connection to the ground. Okay? And sort of, I feel like this was a little bit hidden in Sarah's question, but let's say you had a fruit and you tied it with a rope to the ground, would that be mechayiv and kotzer? Because physically the rope is in the ground sort of thing, right? So obviously we would say no. But again, why is there a difference between that and this case here where there's no nutrition anymore, right? But since it grew on this tree and the tree is still alive, so now you're detaching it from its, from where it grew. Okay. A question. Did everyone get through all the Makoros? Okay. So I think, okay. So just the next great, you know, this is, again, just falls right into our Hakira. How far are we willing to go? Right? How far are we willing to spread the net and say, oh, you know, anytime you're detaching something from its source of nutrition, it's going to be chayiv. Anytime, you know, you detach something from the ground, you know, what is it, how much do you need to accomplish in this action, right? For the Rambam, at some point, we see like, oh, you don't need to accomplish very much as long as it's physically attached. Does it need to like really be, you know, be determining it like very, in a very strict sense, like there's a physical attachment and you're separating it, nutrition. So Yushalmi really goes very interestingly and says, just skip to Yushalmi, Rabbanu de Kesar and Amrin, Hahan de Tzayir Kavra, V'chol Davar Shata Mavdilo Michiuso, Chayiv Mishim Kotzeh. If you take a fish and you take it out of the water, you're Chayiv because of Kotzeh. Right? That was unexpected. I don't know. I thought that was unexpected. Yushalmi says, where do fish grow? In the water, right? And it's like a fish, you know, taking a plant out of the ground is like taking a fish out of the water, right? It's going to die. You separate it from its source of life, you know, and that's it. You separate it from its ability to live, and now you're chayiv, right? So the Yushalmi goes all the way to the extreme and says, oh, there's a fish. You separated it. It was growing somewhere, and now you separated it, and it can't live anymore. And that is kotzeh. Okay, shechkol shemavdilo mi adavar michiyuso chayiv mishum kotzer. Right, that's just how it is. Okay, so the Bavli, right? How much does the Bavli agree with that? On the one hand, how would we want to say this works out?
I would say from the if it's an animal like a fish, or whatever a fish is, there's a certain point where you're going to be chayv misa, really not chayv misa, but you're killing it as if it's like shechting it. So until that point, is it kotzer? That's what I was thinking.
Okay, right. So you're pointing out something very good, which needs...
I mean, that's what you're thinking, really.
You're pointing out there are sort of two things that are going on when you take a fish out of water, right? You're killing the fish, right? And you're separating it from its nutrition, which kills the fish. Right, but those two are separate. Right, there's the malacha of okay, davar migidulo, and there's the malacha of nitilas neshama. Killing something, right, is one malacha. Harvesting something is a different malacha. So, right, even though like those two happen right one after the other, so which one are you chayiv on for fishing? Right, so the Yushalmi is actually saying you're chayiv because of kotzer. You harvested it. Maybe you're also chayiv later for killing it once it dies, but you did kotzer. I don't know. Let's say you take it out of the water and put it back in, or you took it out of the water and put it into a bucket, right? So it didn't die yet, but you separated it from its, you know, from its gidula. But you're right. It's a good way to check that is to say, when are you chayiv, right? How are you going to test this? You should be chayiv either way. So Rachel's saying, oh, well, when are you chayiv? Exactly. So the Bavli said, what does the Bavli say about when are you chayiv? Amar Shmuel, Hashola dag min hayam, Kivan sheyivesh bo kisela chayiv. When are you chayiv?
When it dries up a certain amount.
Right. And why? Why do we care about the drying up?
Its life source is being cut off.
Maybe like it can't come back from that point. Like you can't put it back and have it.
Exactly. Right. You can't put it back in the water. Once it starts drying up, right? And then we say, oh, it's got to be like, you know, from in between the scales, it starts drying up. So it's like, it's going to die now, right? You know, if you have oxygen deprivation for X amount of time, right? You get permanent brain damage. Same sort of thing. Like, it's got to be, it's not right away. It's got to, you got to wait until it starts actually dying. Once it's going to die, and it's, you know, Hashola Dag, Shaya Nitzod V'Omed Mibodium, right? Chayiv Mishim Nitilas Neshama Desu Lo Chayi, right? You're killing it. How would I put this down? I would say, oh, right, kishmak. Fishing, is it chayiv because of tilas neshama or because of kotzer, right? On the one hand, is there a physical connection between the fish and the sea? I wouldn't say, oh, a fish is like planted in the sea. It's physically attached to the sea, right? I've actually seen fish like jump out of the sea and then back in. think. Right? The fish isn't physically planted in the sea, right? First of all, he's definitely not a plant. That's one problem, right? And he's also not physically attached to the sea. But he definitely draws his sustenance from the sea. So I would say, okay, right? It depends exactly on our Hakira. If it's about nutrition, so maybe the Jami's right, right? We took the plant, the fish, we took it out of the sea, and now it's no longer, you know, connected to its life source. On the other hand, right, it's a fish. It's not attached to the ground. So detaching it from the sea, there's no detaching it from the sea, right? Mimela, it's not going to be chayiv according to the Rambam definition.
Sorry, I don't understand what you mean by not attached to the sea. Like it is in the sea, it touches the water.
Right, but it doesn't. It's not like planted in the sea. It's not physically like attached to the sea. It jumps out of the water. It like swims around in the water, right? It's not planted. It's not like an extension that it's like, oh, it's physically attached to the sea, and now you've broken that physical connection. Right? You're right. You're asking from the Akhtanakov case because like, oh, like there we did consider it. Pardon?
Not going to be a sponge, maybe.
Animals can be part of this Gedolei Karka category.
I mean, they're not physical. Right? Even if we consider, even if we're going to legally, we could legally say like, oh, like animals have this like a relationship to the ground. There are places in Halacha where we say like, oh, animals have this relationship to the Karka, right? They're like Karka, Legabe, certain things. But in general, we would say, you know, and animals are definitely not plants. They're definitely fauna, not flora. Right? And again, physically, I don't think we could say that.
We could ever define any animal as being connected to the ground. Sorry?
Sorry, go ahead. Your turn.
If we could never define any animals connected to the ground, then that would exclude all animals from Kotzer, like definitionally, even like according to all definitions.
Right. Yeah. We started off with. Well, there's two questions. Right here, are we saying animals? Is it the fact that it's an animal, or is it the fact that it's not connected to the ground? I think it's both an animal, and even independent of the fact that it's an animal, it's just not connected to the ground. It's definitely not connected to the ground. It might be connected to the sea, but it's definitely not connected to the ground. That's first of all, right? Number two is I don't think we would say that there's a physical connection between them. I think we all agree that a plant is physically connected to the ground. Then the question becomes, a normal plant is planted in the ground. Let's say you had a plant that was like only a little bit connected to the ground. At what point do we say it's not connected to the ground anymore, right? A plant normally is rooted in the ground, and then like, oh, if it's loose soil, b'chule, 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 or if it's just sitting on top, or it's in a flower pot that has a hole in it, is a flower pot with a hole connected to the ground, not connected to the ground? That already gets into the question of like, when do we see the plant is no longer attached to the ground? We'd all agree that a plant is attached to the ground. I think we'd all also agree that in general, animals are not attached to whatever it is. They walk around, they move freely, right? They go wherever they want. There's no physical connection between the fish and like the sea, right? It moves around in the sea. It goes above, jumps above the sea. I think it's, well, it can come out of the sea, right? It's not physically attached, naturally speaking. It lives there. That's its habitat. So while we consider it its habitat, we wouldn't say it's physically connected. Is taking some kind of its natural habitat going to be kotze? It definitely derives sustenance from the sea, right? Oxygen. Fish only get oxygen through their gills, and then they're in trouble. Except for octopus.
Because their Yerushalmi uses the word, or someone uses the word michyata, like not necessarily the ground. Like deers get sustenance from the air. So then would drowning them also be kotzer because you're depriving them of their sustenance? Like why do we assume that it has to be from the ground?
No, according to the Shami, it doesn't have to be the ground. That's what I'm arguing. I think that's my exact, it doesn't have to be the ground, right? It's just any machilo mechilo. Yeah. I'm just trying to say that they're not attached to the ground, right? Yushami is saying that not only do they not need to get, it's a question of, they're definitely not connected to the ground, right? And, right, we're probably not dealing with the ground at all. Although you could consider the sea to be a ground, is the water like, legally like, sort of just wet ground or not? It's an interesting question. They got to be like Erevin. Where do we count Rosh Hasharabim from, or Rosh Hasayachid, or the Carmelis from the water, or from the bottom of the ocean floor? Anyway, just a cool question. Fine, we paskin from the water. So we actually keep water for Yervin is Aris Mechta. Yeah, Rachel.
Is there any kind of parallel malacha netilas neshama for a plant? Just because
I mean, we'd say kotzer.
Okay. So then with fish, there's kotzer and there's also netilas neshama. But that
according to the shaman, yeah. I would have thought, oh, like, one's flora, one's fauna, like, you can't mix them. But the shaman is saying no, right? One's about whacking something's nutrition, and you did that. The other one is about killing something. You did that. I don't think you could say that there's netilas neshama by plants because plants don't have, or they're not alive in the neshama sense, right? But, you know, that's already like, oh, okay, right? It just happens to be that you can't do netilas neshama by plants. There's no reason why you can't do kotzer by animals, right? In theory, I don't know, Sarah's question, let's say you were to drown like an animal, right? Is putting it in the water already cutting it off from its life source? Maybe, I don't know, we might just consider that already a little too, I don't know if that's considered taking it out of its habitat, maybe. You can argue that there's no, like, taking it off from its habitat, you're already killing it instantly. But I don't know, that gets into very fine distinctions. You could argue that, like, a million ways. Like, where would you draw the line? Would you conclude that? Okay, so the Yerushalmi said, right, it's about the nutrition, and then we're going to include everything under the sun. Or under the water, any, right? If it exists, basically, and it's living in some sense of the world, word, if you were to cut it off from its source of nutrition, you're going to be chayav. The Bavli, right, argues on that and says, no, right, you're only chayav by fish because you are killing them, right? Now, the next case is a little bit of an issue. Shmuel says, if you were to separate a fetus from its mother, you'd be chayav. Right? Why? He said, just like if you were to take a parasitic plant off of its host, you'd be chayiv. Right? So too, you're chayiv if you because of okra davar migidulo. Right? So too here, you're going to be chayiv because you're separating the fetus from its source of nutrition, right, where it's growing. Okay, that's the next case. Right there, we're dealing with animals. They're probably saying you're chayiv. Right? It's not the ground. And there is a physical connection, though. Okay, so it's definitely working in the. There's a physical connection. There is no ground involved, right? And there's also nutrition involved. Amar Abaya, Haiman de Talash Pitra Meuna de Chatzva. If you take a mushroom off of a bucket, Mechayiv Mishim Okar Davar Migidula. It was growing on the bucket. Now you detached it. Okay, so there it doesn't seem like it's attached to the ground. It definitely is physically attached, and there is nutrition involved. Wait, you're putter if you take something out of a unholy flower pot. And if you detach something from an unholy flower pot, you're putter. Isn't that because it's not physically attached to the ground? But it's in the flower pot. It's growing in the flower pot, right? If you were to cut the stem, you're separating it from its roots. And so it's hasam lav hainu ribise, hacha hainu ribise. The answer is that's not its natural habitat. The natural habitat of plants is the ground. And the natural habitat of mushrooms is wet surfaces, regardless of whether or not they're the ground. Okay? Now, Rashi explains that the difference essentially is ain't derech zriya sham. You don't normally plant in a flower pot. Aval ilusha amarnuhu ikar gidulan, right? The main habitat of a plant is the ground. So a flower pot just is going to be putter because it's not its real ikar habitat, but otherwise in a hanami you should be chayiv, right? There's nothing inherent about being attached to the ground, except that that's the natural habitat of plants, right? And you know, when it comes to mushrooms, their natural habitat is wet surfaces, regardless of where. But fundamentally, there's nothing about the ground involved. So it seems, at least like for the Bavli, that the argument is, and this is what the Miri explains, right? Hoshi yadonei behema v'dilda ubar shabmea she'akru mimekoma, right? They had a certain place, and you now removed it from that place, you detached it, and therefore you're chayiv, right? Chayiv mishamokar davar migidulo, right? It was getting nutrition there, it was physically attached. Now the fish case is different because in a fish case is, right, the fish is not physically attached to the ocean, okay? Says the Ramban, no. Doesn't, I'm not Mekabel. And I think part of the reason why is that, right, the fish case. So according to the base, the Miri, right, what's the Hesber? Right, it's exactly like the Rambam. Right, the Bavli holds like the Rambam, and therefore we care about there being a physical connection. The Yerushalmi thinks that even if there's no physical connection, and the Bavli disagrees because the fish isn't physically attached to the ocean. But the case of the fetus, you're going to be chayv, right? Because at the end of the day, you are detaching it from its place. And there's a physical connection, right? The problem with that, says the Rambam, basically, or at least says us, what's the problem with that? Right, it's all good for the Rambam, but what about? But Rashi, right? Everything was fine, except that Rashi, you know, says that it's a question of nutrition, and therefore, you don't need a physical connection. So how are you going to deal with the Yerushalmi? So the Ramban says like Rashi says, no, it can't be that it's just about the physical connection. Imishum oker davar migidulo, duhu tolda de kotzer, ela bigidule karka. The real difference is that we only can consider things to be kotzer if they're connected to the ground. Only by things that are connected to the ground do we say that there's a din of kotzer. In disha ela bigidule karka, hachanami amrinan, vaday in ksira ela bigidule karka. Okay, what about medalda ubar mishum nitilas neshama? So yesh lomar di medalda ubar mishum nitilas neshama. How about the fetus case? The fetus case is because of you're killing it, right? Aye, but it's not an independent life, right? Yeah, but it's since through what we learn from the case of the parasitic plant is that even though it's not independent, right? Nonetheless, we consider that to be nitilas neshama. Aye, what about the Yerushalmi, right? The Bavli disagrees, right? So Ramban says the answer is very simply, you have the question of nutrition. It's all about the nutrition, right? Not about the physical connection. And it's only true by gidulei karka. So therefore what? If you detach the plants from the ground, you're chayiv. If you were to detach the fetus or a fish from the ocean, you'd be potter because of, let's say, netilas neshama, right? But not because of kosher, because they're not plants, right? Basically, there's a split between there's flora and there's fauna, and flora only have kosher, and fauna only have netilas neshama, okay? Now, what's the problem with this? The only problem with this is going to be the mushrooms. Right? The mushrooms case seems to be a bit of an issue because they're not physically attached to the ground. Okay? So just here, right, the Bavli says Nitilas Neshama. Yerushalmi says Yechayev on Kotzer for the fish. The Yerushalmi clearly thinks it's about the nutrients. Why does the Bavli argue? So the Meiri says, because the Bavli holds like the Rambam, it's all about the physical connection. Right? And the fish are not physically attached. The Ramban says there's only Kotzer by Gidulei Karka. Right? It's only true by things that grow on the ground, and it's not connected to the ground, then it's not relevant. Now, how can we deal with the mushrooms? So there are two ways to deal with the mushrooms. What are the two ways to deal with the mushrooms? First option.
Is it like, since it's their standard way of growing, it's as if they're connected to the ground?
Yeah, I think something along those lines. Right, you can say, it's like the nuts and snuck of a little bit. It's, you know, it still can get moisture from the ground. It's, you know, or it's in its natural habitat. It's as if it's connected to the ground. You can go a little one step further and just say, when the Ramban says it's only by gidulei karka, he means flora versus fauna. He doesn't mean it has to be physically in the ground, right? It's any, even if something naturally grows, right, in wherever it naturally grows, if it's flora, then it has kotzer. And if it's fauna, then it says Nitilas Neshama. Now, the alternative way to say it is like this. You're only chayiv on kotzer if you were to detach something that until now is part and parcel of the other object, and now it becomes an independent entity. And if that's true, then when it comes to kotzer, when it comes to, let's say, the case of the ubar or the case of the fish already was an independent entity. Right? and the case of the ubar never comes an independent entity, right? However, case of the mushrooms, right? Just like a regular plant, if you detach from the ground, before it was something that was part of the earth, right? It was connected to the earth, and now, or connected to the broader ecosystem, and now it's independent. But that's a little more speculative. I think the basic answer is, again, flora versus fauna. So just to sum everything up, so we don't go too over time, right? Kotzer, right, can be because, oops, no, not intentional. There we go. Sorry. Either for terms of nutrients, right? Rashi and Tosafot say it's about nutrients, and therefore if the fruit is dried up and its stem is dried up, you're putter. And if you raise the flower pot, since it still gets nutrition from the ground, you're putter. And the Yushami says that if you take a fish out of the water, you're going to be chayiv because you cut off its nutrients, right? The Ramban says in a chenami, except that it only is true by yidulei karka. It's only true by flora, not by fauna. On the other hand, the Rambam says, no, it's all about the physical connection and severing the physical connection, even if there's no nutrition going on at all, right? Therefore, you're chayiv by the fruit where the stem is dried out, and raising the flower pot is chayiv because you're physically separating it from the earth. And that's why the Bavli says taking fish out of the water is going to be pata. Okay.